Sunrose Yoga. Reveal and remember your sacred nature through the practice of yoga. The Sunrose Yoga podcast is a collection of audio recordings, videos, and writings about the practices of yoga. The mission of this podcast is to share the teachings in an accessible way and to hold space for meaningful discussion about yoga. To learn more, please visit sunroseyoga.com. The podcast is made possible by the generous donations of students. If you practice with us here, please consider making a one-time or recurring donation over at sunroseyoga.com. Thank you. Hello, my sweet friends. Thank you for being here with me for episode 124 of Sunrose Yoga. I'm Kelly. This is a live class recorded at the People's Yoga in Northeast Portland. It's a vibrant, all-levels class where we go deeper into understanding pratyahara, or sense refinement. Pratyahara is one of the eight limbs of yoga, as described by Patanjali in the Yoga Sutras. Additionally, we work with shoulder tightness and untangling the psoas in this class. I'm really happy you are here. Please be in touch. All of the ways to connect can be located at sunroseyoga.com. Photos of the postures are there too. Please be sure to join our online course, Whole Yoga, The Other Seven Limbs, if you are interested in exploring these deeper, subtle layers of the practice more. Love.
But we're turning inward, you know, moving toward the longest night of the year. And it's a time for us, you know, sort of naturally to turn inward. And one of the practices that, or the set of practices that we can use to sort of encourage that are pratyahara practices. And pratyahara is one of the eight limbs of yoga as described by Patanjali in the Yoga Sutras. And a lot of times pratyahara is described as withdrawal from the senses. And that just seems really disembodied and almost like anti-human. I don't like that translation. And so I've, you know, in years been searching for something better and what I like is sense refinement. And then I also really like what Matthew Remsky says. And Matthew Remsky has remixed, he calls it remixing, the Yoga Sutras in this postmodern poetic way. And the way he talks about pratyahara is refining the senses to the point that consciousness becomes the object of one's senses. And if you really want to, like, trip yourself out, like, that, think about that for a while. But so what we will do to practice this, to make it, like, a concrete, actual practice rather than an intellectual exercise that could take us to infinity and beyond, is today we'll do some deep listening. And we'll do the listening from a space of awareness of the ears and awareness of the art of hearing. And we'll do it without maybe getting too attached to the story of the sound, if that makes any sense. So that's sort of the idea. Any body parts that need help? Yes. That, Oh, we were meant to be here today. Like, you might, guys might as well have read my mind. Maybe you did. Okay, beautiful. Well, so let's begin with a little sense refinement. And as with all of the more subtle practices, like, find the shape that works for you. So you might be sitting, or you might be lying down, or you might be with legs up the wall. Be somewhere where your body is not distracting you, you know. I say that with love. And once you're there, like, yield to the support that's already happening. The earth is already holding you. Yield to that. And relax into the length of your spine. That's already happening. All you have to do is let it happen. And can you invite your awareness to move to the ears? Whatever part of your ears are interesting to you, go to them. And can you sense the aliveness of your ears? And you might just sort of begin by noticing the surface area of the ears. You might feel sort of a sense of heat or life force in the ears. Whatever is interesting, stay with that. And to start this practice this morning, I'll ring the tingsha bells, and the idea is to let the sound come to you and to follow it for as long as you can. And when it stops, just notice what is left. And I'll ring the bells one last time, and we'll just sort of linger in what remains after the sound stops. And you might begin to shift your awareness from the ears to the eyes. And before opening the eyes, notice what you see behind your closed eyes. And slowly make this transition from having closed eyes to having open eyes. And allow sight to return to you just in the way that it naturally does. Perhaps you'll sense light. Then shape. Then color. Then form. And in your own time, we'll start to make our way toward upright if you've brought yourself to the earth. And before we move our bodies, and I promise we will move them, does anyone have any field notes or data to report from the practice? It can be really simple, like thumbs up, thumbs down, or I have no idea what just happened.
Seems like that bell frequency is just ever present. You know, like once it stops, it's subtly just everywhere.
It's interesting how that. Yeah, it's true. There it is. Anybody else have notes? It could be like, how are you feeling now?
I feel surrounded by many question marks. Just became much more aware of all the other sounds.
It's fascinating, isn't it? We'll do another sound experiment before we close today, where we'll really go with that. So good, thanks for being open. And in time, we'll make our way to all fours, hands and knees, table pose. And you might like to have props, paraphernalia nearby. And really take your time to sort of feel your way into this shape, this all fours shape. You know, feel free to like really move around and really get out there with the movements in your body to find a stable, supported shape. Nice, everybody. And in time, we'll move through this tiny, you know, sort of opening vinyasa where we breathe in to the fullness of the back of the body in table. And as we breathe out, we'll move the hips toward the heels and the forehead toward the floor. And we call this bhaktasana, devotional. And as you breathe in, we'll pull the body back to table. And as you breathe out, we'll meander to downward dog. And you might do that by tucking the toes and moving the hips toward the heels before lifting the knees away from the earth and elevating the seat while moving the legs toward straight. And then inhaling back to table.
and exhaling to devotional bhaktasana.
And we'll just move between and among those shapes at the pace of your very own breath, moving just like you, noticing what you notice in the shapes, about the transitions between the shapes, about your body's engagement with the earth and the sky. You know, and if there are parts of your body that all of a sudden become super fascinating, like, oh yes, stay with that. Follow that. A little bit about Pratyahara, one of the limbs of yoga, and dharana, this idea of concentration, one of the other limbs, is something that we can practice, you know, so accessibly in our asana practice, because we just become more interested in what is already interesting to us. So we just start paying closer attention. There's so many moving parts when we're moving the body. There are a lot of fascination points to draw us in. And so maybe the next time or two that you're inhaling to table, all fours, hands and knees, we'll stay there, we'll linger there, and we'll do a little bit of refinement, a little bit of internal interior design. And you might begin this work by just sort of meandering the hands forward a little bit at a time, just sort of bit by bit. Lowering the elbows to the earth, keeping the hips for the most part where they are. And finally letting the forehead make its way to the earth. And there are ways to modify here. You could move the elbows a little bit closer to your face, or you could move your backside a little bit closer to the heels. If you are feeling like you're relying a bit too much on the upper body, a way to engage the low body and to create some stability across the sacrum, across the pelvis, is to use one of the blocks and to place it between the thighs so that you're engaging actively the legs while you're here. And you'll notice if you try like that, which is just kind of interesting anyway, that things get a little less intense up top when you recruit the lower part of the body to engage as well. And that, you know, is true regardless of the shape. And so from here, with a breath in, let's start to slide the right hand on the floor back, you know, just to the right side of the right ear. Yeah, and lightly press the fingertips into the floor, and at the same time, we'll lengthen the left side of the body. So you might find yourself growing a little bit longer in the left side of the body. And so we've created this asymmetry, objective asymmetry, and we'll try to maintain some symmetry in the lungs. And you can do that by maintaining a sense of buoyancy in the right lung. This is maybe not something that we'll see from the outside, but if you can maintain that sense of integrity, yeah, nice. This might also be easier with the block between the legs. I have found, just in research I've conducted, And so in time with an exhalation, start to walk that that right hand back forward onto the floor. And notice what you notice. And then in time, we'll switch sides. So we'll breathe in and start to slide the left hand back to the left side of the left ear. Pressing the fingertips into the floor. Lengthening the right side of the body, but staying with the integrity of the left side of the body so that we don't sort of sag too much or shrivel too much in the left side. Sense of internal support. And from here, with a breath out, we'll slide the right hand back so that it too is on the right side of the face. And we'll take our time as you breathe in to slowly pull the body back toward the table. And with an exhalation, to make your way either to downward dog or back to devotional, whichever feels the most supportive and the most kindred to the spine. And in time, either from downward facing dog or from table, we'll breathe in and step the right foot forward between the hands. And you might elevate your hands onto the blocks. And you might lower your left knee down to the earth. We'll do a little waking up for the hips. And this can be done either with the left knee lifted or on the earth. And if the knee is on the earth, then the action is with an inhalation, the hips shift back, the right leg straightens, the head becomes heavy and the spine rounds. And as you exhale, ease back to the lunge and shift your gaze forward and up. And if your left knee is lifted, you'll rise up into the hips, almost as though someone were picking you up by your hips. Right leg straightens, head heavy, spine rounds, and exhaling back to the lunge, pressing out through the heel, looking forward and up. And you don't have to commit to doing it one way the whole time. And something that we've noticed through our work together is that if we let each of our parts, you know, like all the way to the back of the skull, all the way to the lobes of your ears, if we let each of the parts have its own experience of the movements and of the shapes, like integration happens. When you let the length of the spine simply reveal itself, that's where the integration happens. And the next time that you exhale into the lunge, whether it's a low lunge or a high lunge, we'll pause there. And we'll be with the length of the body. So you might press out through your left heel and notice the distance from that heel up the back of the leg all the way to the center of the forehead. And we'll bring the hands to the top of the right thigh. Let the left knee bend a little or a lot for support. Let the tailbone become heavy. Belly moves a millimeter closer to the spine and heart blooms. So you might really sort of feel that from the left knee to the bottom left rib. With a breath in, let's sweep the arms, hands, and fingers to the sky, and as you breathe out, let everything soften. As you breathe in, reach the hands forward and down to the earth. And as you breathe out, let's step the left foot forward to meet the right. And
and dangle in Uttanasana, standing forward fold, for just a couple of breaths.
Bend the knees a little, bend the knees a lot. You might rest your forearms on the tops of the thighs.
Other things might occur to you. Do them even and especially if you think they're not yoga. Like the idea is to start really listening to the wisdom of your body. And so in time, with a breath in, we'll step the right foot back to a lunge. And using your blocks can be really helpful here for stability as you step back. And again, you can choose a high lunge or a low lunge. And just for a couple of rounds of breath, we'll sort of wake up through the hips. So with your breath in, we'll rise up into the hips, straightening the left leg, letting the head become heavy and the spine round. And as you breathe out, ease back to the lunge. And for most of us, like, something will be interesting. Usually, the places where tightness is presenting itself, they have a way of getting in our head. But if nothing is, you know, overtly, you know, just like calling your name, you know, it's fine to be sort of systematic about it. To say, okay, today when I'm here, I'm going to focus on my big toe on the right foot, what's happening there. And maybe the next time that you're exhaling into your lunge, we'll pause there and just start to appreciate the length, the space that's already happening. Like, so much of our time is spent, you know, in those places where we feel tight or where we think we're tight. And, like, there is space there. There's, you know, inches and feet happening. So we'll bend the right knee a little bit or a lot, engaging the right glutes, bringing the hands to the top of the left thigh. Let the tailbone be a little more sensitive to gravity. The belly moves toward the spine a teeny tiny bit, and the heart blooms. And with a breath in, we'll sweep the arms, hands, and fingers to the sky. And as you breathe out, just let everything get a little bit sweeter at the skin. As you breathe in, we'll reach the arms, hands, and fingers forward. And as you breathe out, we'll step the right foot forward to meet the left. Uttanasana. Standing forward fold. Let the crown of the head be heavy. Let the back of the skull be soft. Again, like, bend the knees a little, bend the knees a lot. And there's no prize for touching the earth. No kidding. And especially if it comes at the expense of your spine. So really let this be about your relationship with gravity. And so if you have your blocks nearby, you might place your hands on your blocks. If they're not close by, bring the hands to the shins or to the thighs. And with a breath in, we'll bring the torso up halfway so that your torso is, you know, about parallel to the earth. And we'll stay here for a couple of breaths just to refine. You might bend your knees the teeniest, tiniest bit. And then just as we did in table, can you breathe into the fullness of the back of your body? Maybe breathing, broadening from shoulder to shoulder. Yeah, nice. Now, just as a little experiment. What happens if you shift your gaze forward on the floor? And what if you start to look across the room? Notice where you feel that. And then what happens if you shift your gaze back down to the floor and let the gaze sort of settle between your big toes? Now from here, from Ardha Uttanasana, we'll create Utkatasana. So bend the knees a little bit. I don't know how to quantify a little bit. Otherwise I would, sorry. Let the tailbone be a little bit heavier so you feel a rounding from the top of your sacrum to your tailbone. And a little more rounding happens as you draw your belly button a little bit closer to the spine, right from the belly button. Now support here by engaging the glutes a little bit. From here, bring the hands to the tops of the thighs if they're not already, and invite your heart to bloom. So lift the heart. Yeah, nice. Oh, that was pretty. And so let's turn the palms of the hands to face forward, but let the backs of the hands rest on the tops of the thighs. Good. Are your glutes helping you? And with a breath in, let's push the feet into the floor and just slowly come all the way up. And let it all go. Come to a stable standing shape. Your feet might be close together, they might be farther apart at the top of your mat. And with a breath in, let's sweep the arms, hands, and fingers to the sky. And as you breathe out, let's dive forward, Uttanasana. And as you breathe in, bring the torso up halfway, Ardha Uttanasana. And exhale, fold. And let's do that maybe two more times. Maybe letting the awareness rest at the back of the skull. Notice what happens at the back of the skull as you breathe in and come up halfway. And exhale, fold. And as you breathe in and come up halfway. And maybe one more just like that. And with a breath in, we'll step the right foot back. And we'll lower the heel, the right heel toward the earth, rising all the way up to stand, squaring the hips to the front of the mat. Breathing in, sweeping the arms, hands, and fingers to the sky. And as you breathe out, start to bend the left knee, easing into Virabhadrasana 1, Warrior 1. And it can be helpful to come in and out, to saunter into the shape at the pace of your own breath. And, you know, feel free to do that several times. And then once you settle in, to really inhabit the shape, to notice the contact that your body is making with earth. Can you feel each of the toes? To notice the contact that your body is making with the sky. Are both of your breath, your lungs equally engaged? Is one of them sort of hiding or lagging behind? And just bringing our awareness to those places is powerful. And with a breath in, let's start to straighten the left leg. And as you breathe out, bring the hands to the points of the hips. Just notice what's happening. You might even bring your hands to your stomach. first place, invite it to move back so that they're working together to create stability for the pelvis. Pressing both heels mightily into the floor. As you breathe out, we'll start to hinge from the hips, and we'll bring the torso to about parallel with the earth, just as we did in Ardha Uttanasana. Pressing the balls of the feet into the floor. And can you send a message to your quads to lift your kneecaps? What does that feel like? Don't worry if it feels like nothing happened. Or if it looks, if you think it looks like nothing is happening from the outside. Like that, seriously, is where the yoga is happening. When it looks like we're doing nothing. And so just for fun here, let's let the right arm dangle down. Just let it drop. Let your shoulder know ease. And as you breathe in, we'll start to reach that right arm to the middle of the room. And so here, there's a lengthening happening in the right side of the body. Can we stay with the left lung so that even within all of this asymmetry that we're creating, there is symmetry within the body? Yeah, gorgeous. Spines. As you breathe in, let's cartwheel the hands toward the earth. And we'll breathe out to down dog, Baddha Uddha Vishvanasana, or something like down dog. And feel free to move a little or move a lot. Like feel around for the edges of the container. And so with a breath in, we'll switch sides. We'll step the right foot forward between the hands. And it's sometimes useful to elevate the hands on blocks while we sort of set everything up, while we lower the left heel down to the earth. You might scooch your left foot a half a scooch closer to your right foot. And feel free to experiment with the angle of your back foot. There's lots of room to play there. Press the feet into the earth. Rise all the way up to stand. Sweep the fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, start to bend the front knee. Yeah. And you might come in and out a couple of times at the pace of your own breath. Take up space. So while you're kind of meandering in here, I'll tell you a little story. Maybe, have we talked about my friend who's the artist in Berlin? I don't think we have. Anyway, she built, her name's Madeline, we've been friends since college, and she like builds these rooms or boxes and stuff. She's a sculptor. She builds herself inside of it, and then the show, like the installation, is her like getting out. And so part of the work is like feeling around for the edges of the container, like what is the structure. And that, you know, she has videos of her work I'll share with you, and like it doesn't always look super pretty. So when you're in the shape and you're like feeling around like, what the hell is this? I don't know if you would say what the hell, but I would. What the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is this? Like it might look super weird and that's okay. Like think about my friend with her hammer like and kicking out, feeling around the edges of the, for the edges of the container. Figure out what downward dog is. And so from here, let's breathe in and we'll rise up, straightening the right leg, bringing the hands to the hips. And as you breathe out, we'll hinge from the hips. Parsvottanasana. inviting the right hip to move back, inviting the left hip to move forward. So there's stability there. Nice. And what's happening with the back of the skull? Can you find a shape of ease with the neck and head? Nice. And with a breath in, let's let the left arm drop and dangle. Get really loose in the shoulder. And as you breathe in, start to reach that left hand and arm toward the middle of the room. Now, what wants to happen here is the right hip might want to move forward. Invite it back. So create a little dissonance in the body. Yeah. And then create symmetry with your awareness on both of the lungs. Just beautiful. Just gorgeous lungs. And then with a breath in, let's cartwheel to earth. And we'll breathe out to down dog. Take your time. Feel around for the edges of down dog. Like, don't be afraid to make it super undown dog looking in order to figure out what down dog feels like. I think there's this tendency for us, and you know, whenever I talk about us, I'm just sharing with you my own experience. Like, when we're worried about doing something perfectly, we really contract, we really shrink away. But you, like, have every right to be in the space and to take up all of the space that you take up. So, like, expand fully into that. Nice. And so let's breathe in and come to table. And we'll do a little bit of work for our psoas awareness and release. And there are a couple different ways of being here. So one way is to elevate the hands onto the blocks in table and to bring them close together. And to sort of tuck the toes under a little bit for support. And as you breathe in, to rock the hips back slightly. And as you breathe out, to step the left foot forward to the outside edge of your left hand. Okay, so this is one, like, first approach. Something else that can be really sort of interesting before you get there is to use either a block or a bolster under the knee that's staying put, which would be the right knee in this case, and then to step the left foot forward to the outside, just as you did. Ooh, good morning. And so we're going to find our way into lizard, and if your right knee is elevated, I would suggest tucking the toes under for some support. If the knee is on the floor, then in general, the rule of thumb is if you are stronger than you are flexible, untuck the toes. And if you are more flexible than strong, then tuck the toes, if that makes sense. And you can always change your mind, like, you're not committed for life. It's not the Supreme Court. So let's breathe in. I know, my jokes are so bad in the morning. Who is in charge of those? And breathe into the length of the body, from the heel all the way to the crown of the head. And as you breathe out, we'll just start to, like, invite the heart to soften toward earth. And you don't have to go anywhere. Like, you don't have to go to the floor. If you reach a point where, like, the F word is your mantra, ease up. Or if you reach a point where you feel like, I'm going to throw up. I'm really going to throw up. This is going to be the time that I throw up to yoga. Like, ease up. I mean, I'm saying that because I've been there and I've been like, oh, this is so good for me.
I throw up when I get excited.
Oh, my sister does. She gets the hiccups and then she throws up. when she was a little girl, she did that. Now I'm sharing her secrets on
the night before a big flight.
Oh, it always happened. All right, so notice where you might be holding or where you might be gripping. So where things get interesting. Maybe it's at the hamstring attachment. Maybe it's across the crease of your right hip. Go to the center of that sensation. Can you locate the center? And can you notice how far out you feel it? And slowly, with a breath in, we'll start to climb out of this place. Ease being our mantra. And with a breath out, you might start to sort of Spider-Man your way back to table or to down dog. And in between sides, let's run a little experiment here. Let's come all the way down to the floor onto the belly, but take your time to get there. There's no rush. And you might rest your head on the back of your hands, and depending on the hips, the toes might point in or the toes might point out, or they might just be neutral. Notice the front right channel of the body. Notice the front left channel of the body. Notice the back left channel of the body. And notice the back right channel of the body. And notice if there are places here where you're holding or gripping, and if you can invite them to soften. And we'll prepare for side two by coming to table. And then setting up, you know, just in a way that makes sense. If you use the bolster on one side and you hated it, then it's up to you whether you use it on the second side. And then maybe shifting the hips back with a breath in as you breathe out, we'll step the right foot forward, stacking the knee over the ankle. Tucking the back toe under. And something that's sort of interesting to do here, as you relax into the length of your body and start to soften at the heart, is to notice some distances. So as you're softening in, can you bring your awareness to your right sitting bone? So your right ischial tuberosity. And can you notice the distance from your sitting bone to the back of your right knee? And another little interesting journey to take is to notice the top of your left knee and to notice the distance from the top of the left knee to your bottom rib on the left side. And just notice, like, oh, there's so much space already happening. and slowly in time will start to come out of this shape, you know, taking your time, moving with awareness. And then again, maybe Spider-Manning your way to table or to down dog. And eventually winding up on the belly. And if the belly is not a good resting place, if it's not the medicine, then come to the back. And just again, like, just sort of notice, like, the front left channel, the front right channel, the back right channel, the back left channel. And while we're here on the belly, let's bring ourselves into a belly down back bend. And so you might begin that process by just lifting your head and resting your cheek on the back of the hands while you organize your legs so that the tops of the feet are making contact with the floor and the heels are pointing straight up toward the sky. So there's a neutralization of the hips. The rotation of the hips. And for some of you, this will be enough of a back bend. And remember, you can always come back to this if you get somewhere too intense. And so you might lift your head, your chin away from the hands and bring the shoulders, or sorry, the elbows to the floor right beneath the shoulders. And we'll create some support for the lumbar spine by pressing the tops of the feet into the floor. Your kneecaps might lift. And then pressing the pelvis into the floor or turning the tailbone to face the floor like you would in cat pose. So like an active rounding of the low back. Nice, everybody. Belly button moves toward the spine. And then if it feels okay, you might invite the heart to bloom. So the lower body is rounding and the upper body is arching in a sense. And can we allow ease in the hands? Like you might even turn the palms of the hands to face the sky and let them be full of ease. And with a breath out, let's relax the effort and we'll start to roll onto the back. So you might slide one arm under the other and roll onto the back. We'll begin in a shape of constructive rest. So the knees are bent, soles of the feet are on the floor. And as you breathe in, reach the arms, hands, and fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, reach the arms, hands, and fingers up overhead, letting the backs of the hands rest on the floor. And we'll bend at the elbows enough so that there is ease in the shoulders. Let the hands be soft. And as you breathe in, press the feet into the floor and we'll press the lumbar spine, the lumbar curve into the floor, sort of rounding the back. And as you breathe out, come back to neutral. And we'll do that a couple of times. And can we do it with our awareness staying at the shoulders, staying in the arms?
maybe staying in the hands. So that the primary action is happening in the low back, but our awareness is resting in the upper back, in the upper register of the spine and chest. And we'll let those movements, the pressing of the feet and the pressing of the lumbar spine, get softer and softer, closer and closer to the spine, harder and harder to detect. And from here, we'll scooch the feet and the knees closer together. And with much ease, as you breathe out, start to let the knees just sort of drop toward the right as you look toward the left. And as you breathe in, bring everything back to the center. It might be useful to lift up the sacrum and set it back down. And with the breath out, let the knees start to drop to the left as you look to the right. And as you breathe in, come back to the center. And make any last movements or shifts that feel necessary. Start to move in the direction of a pose of rest or integration. And that shape can be lying on your back or your side or your belly. Or with legs up the wall. Or sitting. You feel ease. Yield to the support that's already being given to you. And everything might become slightly heavier as you yield to gravity. And every
everything might become at the same time lighter as you notice the aliveness of your entire body, from the toenails to the top of your head. You might invite your awareness back to your ears, noticing the aliveness of the ears. Becoming more interested in your ears altogether. As your awareness sort of rests in the ears, you might begin to realize that sounds just come to you and you don't have to do anything. And you might find yourself open to receive the sound without worrying about naming the sound or needing to know its story.
You might turn your awareness to the sound of your own breath, whether that's a sound that is audible or not. You might begin to invite tiny movements back to the hands and the feet, to the wrists and the ankles. Letting those movements spread across your entire body. In time, you might roll to your favorite side and just pause. And when the time is right, start to make your way slowly back to a seat. Let your hands rest where they're the most comfortable, maybe at the knees or maybe at the heart, just depending on what feels best. And let's close today by making the sound of Om, and we'll articulate each of the four sounds of Om, the ah, the o, the and the pause, the space at the end. And if it's accessible to you, notice where you feel each of those sounds in your body. So we'll take a full cycle of breath before we begin. Deep breath in. And let it all go. And a breath in. Thanks everybody for sharing this space. Namaste.
everybody. Ask always if you have questions.